You know, it is always humbling to speak before the NAACP because it's a powerful reminder of the debt that we all owe to those who marched for us and fought for us and stood up on our behalf.
But of course, his candidate, Barack Obama, speaking on the 99th anniversary of the NAACP. The NAACP turns 100 today. And joining us to talk about that is Patrick Henry Bass, senior editor of Essence Magazine and Takeaway contributor. You know, some have described the ascension of Barack Obama as a changing of the guard in the civil rights movement. But there, hearing him speak, he's very, very conscious of both looking backward and looking forward in terms of leadership in the African-American community.
Good morning, John. His ascendancy would be impossible without the NAACP, which was founded on February 12th, which happens to be Abraham Lincoln's birthday and was purposeful when the NAACP was started in 1909, largely by W.E.B. Du Bois and a group of African-Americans and non-African-Americans who are part of the Niagara movement. They actually met in 1905 in Niagara Falls. Guess why, John? Because no hotels in the United States would house them, you know. So when the NAACP started, it really was focused on legislation, especially the 14th Amendment. And some of the greatest highlights of the NAACP revolved around legislation, especially its NAACP Legal Defense Fund, who, of course, you know, one of the most iconic names is Thurgood Marshall, who argued successfully in Brown versus Board of Education, which ended legal segregation in schools. But some of the other members of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund that people forget who were members or who were lawyers there were Deval Patrick, Eric Holder was
governor of Massachusetts.
Absolutely. Marion Wright Edelman, Lonnie Guinier, the first African-American tenured Harvard Law professor, Elaine Jones. And that's what people should talk about when they talk about the NAACP. The organization had stumbled a bit in the 80s. They weren't prepared for the backlash they were going to get with the Reagan administration's Justice Department. And when they stumbled badly and sort of hard and sort of lost their footing.
Well, before we talk about the stumble, let's zip back in time 100 years. As you describe, I think, in your sort of opening sentence there, and I just want to make sure people remember it, this was a coalition of sort of people with sort of abolitionist roots in the white community and African nationalist, African, you know, sort of advocates of various kinds come together in one organization. From that coalition beginning, where did the NAACP evolve to? And then before the stumble, why was it unprepared for what happened during the Reagan era?
Well, one of the challenges for the NAACP within the African-American community was the fact that it was never an all-African-American organization. It was always made up largely of, you know, whites and Jewish folks and also African-Americans. In fact, the NAACP's board was mostly comprised of non-African-Americans up until 1975. So the legislative victories that it had, you know, were significant. But the NAACP, like, as in terms of the foot soldiers, in terms of the marches, the communities, it tended to be people like Dr. King, you know, who, you know, had, you know, most of the he was out front more, you know. So you didn't really see the NAACP's leaders. You know, you knew Roy Wilkins, but you knew of this force, you know, of this organization, but individually you didn't know who they were. And I think that in terms of the African-American community, most people felt that the NAACP was a formidable organization to try to join. To try to get in the NAACP seemed to be cumbersome. So a lot of people started their own organizations, the Black Panthers, Operation Push, and the legislative victories had been won. You know, by 1974, most of the legislative victories had been won, and the NAACP always had a friend in the White House, Johnson, and including Nixon. Even Ford was a friend to the NAACP. But with Reagan, there was a distinct backlash. And by the 90s, the NAACP found itself on shaky financial footing. By the time Benjamin Chavis became the president of the NAACP, they were almost in financial default. And so they've been recovering ever since then.
I want to remind our listeners, Daljeet Dhaliwal is here with us for Doria Doji. And we were talking at the editorial meeting yesterday, just trying to assess what the relevance is of the NAACP. It's a really burning question.
I mean, just sort of in terms of going forward, Patrick, what would you say would be the kind of the greatest challenges that you would have to face, just given, you know, sort of also in terms of the different kind of priorities that young African-American people might have these days?
Well, one of the greatest challenges for the NAACP is, what is its mission? What does it stand for? So they now have a new president, Benjamin Jealous, who's very much from the Deval Patrick, Barack Obama school. And I recall the NAACP when I was growing up in Laurinburg, North Carolina. My grandmother was a voting rights advocate, and definitely for labor laws and more inclusion in terms of factories and hirings. And I remember the passion of the foot soldiers there, and I think that passion is still there. We just have to get it to the youth, at least the members of the NAACP.
Can I ask you a question as a historian of the NAACP?
Yes.
You know, it's my impression that when Dr. King began his movement and started the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, that he was more comfortable taking a national stage under the aegis of a Christian organization, because at that time the NAACP was perceived as too radical. What a change. First of all, is that true? And is it an ironic change that the NAACP is not perceived as the radical organization anymore?
Well, John Lewis said in the 90s that he felt that white people had civil rights fatigue. And that the NAACP represented the harshest part of that fatigue. It was a reminder of all the guilt, and people were sick of feeling guilty. I think there's a reason that people feel guilty, and I think that there should be some guilty feelings, especially around some issues of civil rights. I think that in order to move the organization forward, they have to speak around universal issues like health care, economics, jobs, African-American male retention in schools, focusing on the problems of crime within the community.
Right.
They have to be honest about those issues in the way that Barack Obama was, and built a broad-based coalition that made him president of the United States.
100 years on, challenges and debates within the NAACP. Patrick Henry Bass, thank you so much for that remembrance. NAACP turning 100, something to think about every Lincoln's birthday, founded on Lincoln's birthday.
On purpose.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.